This week on Potlatch, University of Alaska Associate Professor Russell Currier comments on the Festival of Native Art. This year, the Festival of Native Arts takes place on the University of Alaska campus March 14th, 15th, and 16th. On this program, we'll present highlights from the 1976 festival and comments from Russ Currier, University of Alaska Associate Professor of English. But first, the old Sitka song from Sitka's Gajahin dancers. The predominantly Tlingit Gajahin dancers. Now another Tlingit, George Henry from Whitehorse, interviewed
Russ Currier, one of the early organizers, or what we'd call pioneers, of the Festival of Native Arts here in Alaska. Perhaps, Russ, the best way to start is maybe asking, what exactly is the Festival of Native Arts?
Well, basically, it's an opportunity for artists from various cultural groups in Alaska to demonstrate their arts, from carving to dancing, in a situation where they can observe each other. It doesn't often happen that a Yupik group can observe a Tlingit dance group or be observed by an Aleut dance group.
How did the idea get generated?
As near as I can remember, two communications instructors and a group of students started talking about the possibility of having such a multicultural demonstration of arts, probably in the fall, but it was in either 1972 or early in the spring of 73. And after that seemed to arouse some interest amongst the people that were first involved with it, a letter was sent out around the campus to each department, asking if there were other faculty that were interested in the idea, and asking them if they were to attend a meeting. Well, there were a lot of people at the meeting, way more than we had intended or had anticipated. Virtually the entire university was represented. Unless I'm mistaken, there was even a representative from the research end of the university up on the ridge. But a wide variety of department members, individuals, did show interest and attended that first meeting.
What was faculty's direct involvement with the festival?
Well, the first time, one of the ways that faculty members made themselves valuable was by suggesting groups that they knew who might be a good idea to invite to come down and participate. In addition to that, the first chairman of the festival was a faculty member from Professor Tomczak from the Physical Education Department, chaired that first festival and made it happen. Otherwise, faculty members were involved in helping students to make the arrangements and raising funds and such.
What sort of arrangements would have to be made or were made in the first festival?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean. The same kinds of arrangements have to be made in gathering such a group together. Transportation has to be arranged, and in Alaska that's a major problem. We had performers from the very northern part of Alaska and from the very southern part of Alaska and pretty near from east to west. The ones to the east were able to come by automobile, by highway, and the rest of them had to be flown. Money was a problem, it always is. Frankly, I don't remember where all the money could have come from the first year. We had no time, and somehow it happened. I think there was a small unspecified use grant that was available. And I'd hate to try to get to poke around in my memory for other sources specifically, but somehow it came together enough for the first time.
What were other problems, aside from money problems, that were encountered in the first festival?
Well, there were some funny ones. On one night, about 30 people arrived to participate in the festival who hadn't been anticipated, and there wasn't any room in the inn, so to speak. The dormitory was full. The rooms that had been vacant were all occupied. And so the then director of dormitories and I played chambermaid for about 3 hours, cleaning out dirty linen from rooms that were in fact empty but not ready for occupancy, and putting clean linen in the rooms. In another case, a performer had been invited from a very distant place in the Aleutian chain, and there hadn't been any response. This invitation had been extended some 6 or 8 weeks before the festival, but there hadn't been any response, so everybody forgot him. And about 2 days before the festival, there was a phone call, and this performer was about halfway here and wondered where his ticket was. There wasn't any money, and we had to really scratch. Finally, one of the other organizations on campus came up with the plane fare and shared his talent in their activities while he was here. But he made it, and he was good.
What about size and location of areas where the performers are demonstrating their talents? Is it adequate, or was it adequate?
I rather thought it was adequate. There are those that would disagree with me. We were in a room that required probably over half of the spectators to stand, but as a result, the spectators and the performers were very close, and I think that is good. In the case of a lot of the performances, they're not designed for stage extravaganza. They are close, familiar kind of arts, music and dance particularly. And the first festival was in a situation where most of the spectators were forced to be very close to the performers. I liked it.
In past years, the Festival of Native Arts set aside different nights for different ethnic groups: Southeast Alaska Indian, Aleut, Yupik, Athabascan, and Inupiaq. A favorite Inupiaq group was the Barrow Dancers. In 1976, they performed the Shaman's Good Weather song. Called Loading the Sled.
After the first year, the festival moved to a larger hall, but since then, most of the performances have been held in an auditorium where at least the dance and song part, and to a certain extent the storytelling part of it, is on a stage with the audience in an amphitheater-like theater setting.
As you mentioned, sometimes groups that are not anticipated show up. Is that much of a problem?
No. The first year there was just the one problem, which really wasn't a problem except as far as the dormitories went. The resulting festival atmosphere from the extra 30 people was great. It wasn't a problem at all. It was a great addition to the festival. And the first year, since no one anticipated that there was going to be such a thing, pretty nearly only those people who were invited even knew that such a festival was going to take place. Gradually, over the few years that the festival has been held, more and more people have realized that such a thing happens at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and have expressed interest in coming. That does raise a problem, because then certain groups have to be selected, and the selection isn't easy when you'd like to have everybody and simply can't physically have everybody.
In 1976, the Nome Belt's high school dancers performed dances from a number of places in western Alaska. First, we hear them in a song called Being Excited About Dancing. This song is from St. Lawrence Island. Next, the Nome Belts dancers sing a Yupik song called Low High. Belts dancers next perform the Eskimo rock and roll.
Thank you.
finally, the King Island Dance, Chasing a Rabbit, performed by the Nome Belts dancers.
Russ, perhaps you might be able to mention some goals that the Festival of Native Arts had when they first started.
Well, we started in a hurry, and I don't think stated any goals. Our general goals, as I've said, were to provide an opportunity for the people in whom the Alaskan Native cultures reside, particularly older people, to be together in one place and be able to observe each other's artistic talents, and at the same time to allow the university community, particularly students, to learn something about the cultural arts of groups other than their own, and also to provide an opportunity for the Fairbanks community at large to learn something about the cultures that were here before Fairbanks and surround it.
Were those goals kept the first year, or were they hard to follow?
No, I think they were very well realized. The festival had more attendance than it could comfortably contain, and I think everyone agreed that it was well worth doing. As a result, it has been done since.
Have the goals changed of the festival? Have they become more categorized?
They've become a little more specific. The goals are now, the goals and objectives are now in a printed form, so that committees from one year to the next can look at last year's goals and compare and make changes before they start organizing a new festival. But generally, they're the same, I think.
What about you? What's your own personal feelings?
I think what it does for spectators and participants is largely what it was expected to do. It does provide this unusual opportunity for a number of slightly different and very different cultural groups to observe each other. From the students' point of view, I don't think in the beginning we realized the benefit that students derive from just experiencing the organizational difficulty of getting a festival or any kind of a function of this size to actually happen. And in some cases, perhaps students have gotten too involved in the festival, but I think by and large, participation in this kind of organizational effort is an opportunity that most students don't get in their university education.
So it seems to satisfy the needs of all participants from all angles.
Yes, I think so.
Russ, thank you very much.
George Henry interviewing Russ Currier about this year's Festival of Native Arts. Our final selection from the 1976 festival called A Group of People Watching Another Community Dance. This is performed by the Tuksuk Bay Dancers from Nelson Island.
Thank you.
from Nelson Island, the Tuksuk Bay Dancers. This concludes Potlatch for this week. I'm Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.